worship today. I am Catherine Flux Price. I am one of the pastors of Trinity, and it is always good to be together, and especially on this beautiful weekend. As we worship together, I invite you to take a moment and take your connection card out of your bulletin. Every bulletin should have one, and we really would appreciate it if you would let us know that you are here. If you're here all the time, you'll give us at least your name and your email. We sure do appreciate that. And if you're here for the first time, if you'll fill it out and give us as much information as you are comfortable providing, we sure do appreciate it. It really helps us to be able to get connected and stay connected with everyone. We also have a Trinity app, and so if you would prefer to use your app and let us know you are here that way, it is, of course, good for our environment. So if you have the app or you want to download the app, that would be great. I want to tell you something that's going to happen 2 weeks from today. The Reverend Dr. Gary Mason will be here, and he will be with us for the weekend. He will be giving a talk and engaging with the group that is gathered on Saturday at 3 o'clock. There's more information in the bulletin. And then on Sunday, he will be preaching. He preached about, came over from Northern Ireland about 18 months ago, and also shared a message that day. Gary was one of the pastors who was right in the thick of all of the troubles in Northern Ireland and was a part of that peacemaking process and continues to negotiate and encourage peace in the country of Northern Ireland. He will talk to us about peace making, about reconciliation, about conflict management, and resolution, and it's just wonderfully inspiring and most powerful stories to share. So I hope you'll come and be here as Gary Mason preaches 2 weeks from today. Also, every week at Trinity, we receive an offering for our mission boxes. Many times those are opportunities for us to support organizations in our community. And this Sunday's mission box is for Grace Healthcare Service Corps, and that's a group that provides needed ongoing health care to folks who are either uninsured or indigent, that very much underserved population in great need of help. And so I encourage you, as you leave, the wooden boxes that are by all of the exit doors are the place where you can leave a mission box offering. You'll also have an opportunity to do that online, and you'll learn a little bit more about that later as well. But we welcome you again to worship today, and as we do, we hope that you will always find Trinity to be a place that feels like home. And we also pray and hope that you will find your home in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I say to you, welcome home. So let me invite you to stand up. Please say hello to somebody near you. If you don't know them, please don't hesitate to ask their name and get to know them.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship together by singing the opening hymn, Praise Be to God the Almighty.
Praise be to God the Almighty, who rules all creation. O my soul, worship the wellspring of health and salvation. Let all who live now to God's temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise be to God, who o'er all things is wondrously reigning.
Come, Holy Spirit, come and fall on each of us and fill this place and fill our hearts and ignite in us anew a spirit of gratitude and of love. And let us respond in worship. Amen. As you remain standing, I want to invite you to join me as we affirm our faith together using the Korean Methodist affirmation, which you'll find on the screen. We believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer. The Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
As we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer again this morning, I want to make you aware of a few situations and persons who have asked that we as a community be lifting them up in prayer. You'll note some people on the screen, and I encourage you to lift them up this morning as we pray together, and also to carry them with you through your week as we live lift one another up as God has called us to do, to lift one another up in prayer. I also do want to let you know that this week a team from Trinity will be going over to the Florida Panhandle in the ongoing work of recovery following a devastating storm last year, and would encourage you to be lifting them up as they go to serve. And we will pray for them this week. Would you join me as we pray together? God, you have called us here, called us together to worship you. And we're reminded that it's not just your gift to us when we do, but that we are, through worship, being formed by you so that we might live as your disciples. So God, help us to love our neighbors. Help us to look beyond ourselves to the ways that you have called us to serve. As we lift others up in prayer, help us to trust in your mercy and your healing. And especially, God, this morning we lift up to you the mission team from Trinity, who's about to leave for the Florida Panhandle. Watch over them as they seek to live out your call on their lives, as they serve those continuing to recover from the devastating storm. We pray, God, that you would keep them safe, that you would guide their time and their service, so that your will would be done through their work. And for us all this day and every day, God, we pray that our voices would speak words of comfort, that our hands would offer help, that our feet would always walk that extra mile, and God, that our hearts would be full to overflowing with your love. So much so that others will know that we are your beloved children, and will know, as we love them, that they are too. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." It's my privilege to welcome Bradley Collins, who is our Director of Communications. That's a special word for us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. If we haven't met yet, as Ben said, my name is Bradley Collins, and I'm the new Director of Communications here. And I'm here to talk about giving online with Pushpay, and I'm really excited to share it with you. But first, I have a question. Did anyone bring their phone to church? Can you show me your phone and wave it at me if you got it? Great. So the slide's about to change, and so we're really excited to introduce PushPay, which is a new giving platform. It makes it very easy to give online, especially compared with the previous system we had. So I'd like all of us to walk through it together this morning by giving a $1 gift to Hurricane Dorian Relief. So if you would, take the phone you pulled out, go to your web browser, Safari, whichever you use. And that link right there, pushpay.com/g/TrinityGMV, that's the link to get to the page. So I'll give us all a second to type that link in. And then just look up at me when you're done, and I'll know. All right, so once you type in that address, your screen should look like this. The slide will change in a second. And under give, to give a dollar, just type in $1 right there. I'm going to type it in as well. And once you've typed in $1, also the link is in your bulletin on the insert that says how to give with PushPay, just so the slide can keep going. So once you type in a dollar under gift type, you can tap give one time. And the screen will change a little bit once you do that. And it will say fund. So under fund, change it from general fund to mission box, UMCOR/Hurricane Dorian. And if you get a little behind, the app is pretty able to guide you along, so you can just follow the prompts as well. Once you do that, tap next, and your screen will change again. It will create your account. So the first thing to do that is to type in your phone number. It's under mobile number, type in your number, and your phone may auto-populate that for you. So once you type in your phone number, tap send code. Your screen will change again, and PushPay will have sent you a text message with a 6-digit code, and take that 6-digit code and enter it into the spot that says security code, and depending on your phone, it also may bring that code up for you automatically. So once you've done that, tap confirm, and this is the last step in making your account, so you'll just enter your first name, last name, and email address, just so we can keep track of who's giving and sending statements and things like that. So once you type in your name and email address, you tap next. By the way, once you do this once, it takes about 30 seconds to give. This is just kind of the first time typing in all of your details. So last step is to type in the payment method. So if you have a credit card or a debit card that you'd like to give the $1 to Hurricane Relief with, I would encourage you to take that out and just type in the information really quick. You can also do a bank account if you have that information, especially if you go back and do this at home. And so once you've typed in your payment method, we are about to be on the final screen. You'll select your payment method. And on the final screen, you can tap add 2.2% to contribute to processing costs if you would like to. And then if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you get to the final step where it says give $1. And so once you get there, tap give $1, and you'll see a screen that says congratulations. So if you followed us through that process with us this morning, not only have you given a dollar to Hurricane Dorian Relief, but you've also created your account through PushPay. So in the future, you'll tap in and you'll skip most of those steps and just be able to give really quickly. So that was a lot at one time. So there's an insert in your bulletin with the website and kind of the step-by-step how to do it if you'd like to do it at home. And so that's our new giving platform. And as we prepare to take up our tithes and offerings, I would like to make one more announcement, which is PushPay is a giving platform for us, but they also helped us redesign our mobile app. So if you already have Trinity's app, if you update it, and it may be updated already, you'll see that it has a modern, user-friendly feel. And if you don't have the app, just go to the App Store or the Google Play Music Store and type in Trinity UMC Gainesville. See, the first thing that pops up, you can download it, and I think you'll really enjoy the app experience. Again, as we prepare to give, would you pray with me? Good and generous God, thank you for all of the blessings that you've given to us. May the gifts that we give this morning build your kingdom and bring us joy in the process of giving. It's in the good name of Jesus that we pray.
It's so nice to hear the bells again. Thank you all. Yeah. I missed that over the summertime. Appreciate your offering and worship. I also want to express my appreciation to Brad. He has been doing a fantastic job doing some things, getting into this new role of Director of Communications, and a lot of the rollout with the new app and the use of PushPay is the result of his efforts, and so grateful to him. And while you all were going through the process today, I know it may have been a little bit cumbersome because it's the first time, and like you said, there's the insert in your bulletin, but while you were doing that, I was doing it too, and because I was already set up, it was open the app, put in the amount I wanted to give, and then boom, it was done. So it really is as quick as he said it is once you set it up. And that app, there are a lot of great things there, so you can go quickly to the live stream if you're ever out of town and you want to be able to dial into a service. You can go quickly to the live stream. You can do your connection card through the app rather than writing it in manually here. So a lot of different ways you can use the app to stay connected, both in worship and also in other ways throughout the life of the church. So check that out this week. And if you don't already have it, go to the App Store and download it for sure. Last week we launched the Jesus Challenge. And we began with focusing our attention on loving God. Pretty good place to start. So this week we pivot and we look at the other part of that, which is loving neighbor. And you can't do one without the other. And that was really the focus of the scripture last week. And then Catherine zeroed in on the loving God part. And then now this week we look at loving neighbor. And you remember, if you were here, and if not, you may be familiar with this passage anyway, but Jesus is having a conversation with a lawyer, or a better term, maybe a legal expert, because when we're talking about the law here, we're talking about Jewish law. So we're talking about somebody who is a scholar of the Jewish scriptures, and the law that is contained there that was meant to be the foundation for their lives and for living into the covenant that they had with God. So they're having this conversation, and if this is a legal expert, he likely already knows, or at least thinks he knows, the answers to the questions that he's asking Jesus. And so what's really happening here is that he's baiting Jesus. So he starts in last week's passage with the question, what do you have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers his question with a question and says, well, what do you read? How do you interpret it? And that's when the legal expert says, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, great, you got it. Now go and do that. But that's not enough. The lawyer needs to bait Jesus again. And so that's where we pick up the story today, and I'll read and feel free to follow along as I read for us. But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional cost. What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves? Then the legal expert said, the one who demonstrated mercy toward him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this Amen. The story of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps every one of you has heard that story at least one time. Many of you have heard it many times. And at other times, even outside of the context of hearing the whole story, you have heard the idea of a Good Samaritan reference. It's become a part of our everyday vernacular and often used to reference somebody who just does a good deed and acts with kindness and compassion toward another person. And the problem for us is that it's become so familiar in our current context that what is often lost on us is the scandalous nature of this story when Jesus first told it. So a little background here. Jews and Samaritans were not neighborly toward each other. Now, they were geographical neighbors, but that was about it. And people of the Jewish faith believed that the Samaritans had it all wrong. They worshipped God the wrong way and in the wrong place, and they had scandalously gone and married people who were not part of their own tribe, and they just didn't get anything right, and so they were unclean. They were unfit to be spoken to. And so a good Jew, in order to travel somewhere that was on the other side of Samaria, rather than taking the direct route through Samaria, would have actually gone way out of their way to go around the land of Samaria in order to get to where they wanted to go. They were not on good terms with each other at all. And so here comes Jesus in the context of a crowd that's listening to him that is Jewish, introducing a Samaritan into a story. So the story begins, or before the story begins, the scripture begins for us with the legal expert baiting Jesus with another question. So who is my neighbor, Jesus? Because he wanted to prove that he was right. What's going on here is that the lawyer is asking, where do I have to set the boundary? Who do I have to include, Jesus? Give me the parameters on this so I can make a box just the right size to fit in all the people that I want or need to fit in, and then I don't have to worry about anybody else. He wants a legal definition of what it means for him to be a neighbor. And Jesus, in typical Jesus fashion, responds with a story. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and immediately his listeners have an image in mind. They know this road. It's really not a road according to our standards. It is a dirty, dusty, rocky, difficult and sometimes treacherous path, an 18-mile journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And when I say down, I mean that over those 18 miles, it will be a descent of 3,000 feet in elevation. This is not an easy trip. And to make matters worse, it is one where along the way there are all sorts of cracks and crevices in the rocks along the side, where thieves are known to hide out and to jump out and attack unsuspecting travelers, which is exactly what happens in the story. Jesus says this man is traveling and suddenly he is attacked. And the thieves strip him naked, take everything he has, and leave him in a ditch for dead. It's not too long before a priest, traveler number one, comes walking by, Jesus tells us. And when the priest comes up on the scene, he crosses over to the other side and continues on his way. And then traveler number two shows up. And traveler number two is a Levite. And the Levite does the exact same thing. He crosses over to the other side and continues on his way. Now, before we're too hard on the priest and the Levite, Let's remember that they are upstanding members of the Jewish community. The priests are seen as leaders. The Levites are seen as leaders. And they are acting, we might even say, prudently. I I mean, after all, they know what this road is like. They know the difficulties that can be encountered along the way. And here, right in front of them, is Exhibit A. Somebody who could have been them, who is left for dead. And for all they know, he could be dead. And if he is dead, then it means that if the priest were to touch him, then the priest, according to Jewish law, would be unclean. And if he was unclean, then it would mean that he would have to go through a lengthy purification process and wouldn't be able to fulfill his priestly duties for at least a week. So on the one hand, the priest and the Levite might simply be fulfilling what they think is their responsible duty. But on the other hand, they are missing the weightier responsibility to extend mercy. The responsibility that we hear repeated over and over again throughout the scriptures. Both of them cross over to the other side. But are there times when you cross over to the other side? Let me give you a small, simple, even trivial way in which I am guilty of that. True confession this morning. So sometimes if I am in Publix after work and I'm on my way home and it's been a long day and I'm feeling pretty exhausted and I'm about to turn on to aisle 7 and I see somebody that knows me, maybe one of you all, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, that could be a long conversation if I turn down aisle 7. I will cross on over to aisle 9. True confession. Don't hold that against me the next time you see me in public. You ever cross over to the other side? What about when you're driving in your car and you are coming up to a light that's just turning red and you're going to be the front car and right next to where your car is going to be is a man standing in the median with a sign asking for help. And you cross over to the next lane so that it's at least not quite as uncomfortable as it would be if you were right there beside him. Or what about you're walking down the sidewalk and you see somebody coming that you don't want to see and you don't want to pass and makes you uncomfortable. Maybe it's the way they look. Maybe it's something about what you think you know about them. Maybe it's simply their race or ethnicity and you cross over to the other side and keep on walking. You ever cross over to the other side? Sometimes we don't do it just physically. Sometimes we cross over mentally, emotionally. We decide we're just going to check out on any kind of involvement with a person or a group of people. So when we hear about the priest and the Levite crossing over to the other side, let's acknowledge it. It's not that these are terrible people. They look a lot like us sometimes. And then Jesus gets to traveler number 3. And the first thing he says about traveler number 3 is, a Samaritan, which was not at all what his crowd was expecting to hear nor wanted to hear. You see, in storytelling, they knew the pattern that if you had two of one particular nature, then the third was going to be the contrast. And so they perhaps were expecting that he was going to say, and then a Jew came along, and instead he says, Samaritan, and they are shocked. And they're curious to know what he's going to say next. And then he goes on to say that the Samaritan drew near. Near enough to see that the man wasn't dead. That the man was in desperate need of help. And so he goes and he tends to him and he puts the man on his donkey and he takes him to the inn. And did you notice that when he gets to the inn, he doesn't just leave him at the inn. He stays with him until the man is at a point of recovery where he feels like he can leave him in the care of the innkeeper. and leave money for the next couple of days. And he says to the innkeeper, and if there's anything else in terms of expense, please, when I come back, let me know and I will pay that as well. It's the Samaritan who goes above and beyond. The Samaritan who sees the need and responds to it as a neighbor. So Jesus gets to the end of the story and he looks back at the lawyer and he says, so what do you think? Who acted as a neighbor? And the lawyer can't say the word Samaritan. That would be too much for him. But he does manage to muster the one who should muster. The story turns the lawyer's understanding of loving neighbor on its head, and perhaps ours as well. By putting the Samaritan in the role of the hero, the one who does what is necessary, it causes us to ask some pretty significant questions of ourselves. By the time we reach the end of this story, two really good questions for us to reflect on are, who is the person if they were lying in the ditch that you would be least likely to help? And on the other hand, if you were the one lying in the ditch, who is the person that you would least expect or you would least likely want to come to your aid? There's a house in Durham, North Carolina, that is called the Lutva House. It's named that way for a very particular reason. Jonathan and Leah Wilson Hartgrove, in 2003, went to Iraq as a part of a Christian peacemaking team. And while they were there, they were doing exactly that, seeking to be a presence for peace in the midst of great hostility and violence and war. And when it was almost time for them to come home, they were traveling by caravan with other members of the team. And actually, as they were on their way to the airport, one of the vehicles went over a landmine, and the landmine exploded, and members of the team were severely injured. The closest town to them was a place called Rutba. And so they were taken to Rutba to a makeshift hospital. It was a makeshift hospital because the real hospital that had existed in Rutba had been blown up. And there in that makeshift hospital, there were Iraqi doctors and nurses who, as soon as they were brought in, immediately came to their aid and began to do everything they could to tend to their wounds and bind them up. And there were a number of days where they had to stay and receive that care. And when it was time for them to go, you know, they had spent time talking to them, but at some point as they were preparing to finally go, Jonathan recalls saying to them, you know, why in the world, in the midst of all that's going on, you didn't have to do this. You could have acted differently, and yet you chose to help us. How can we ever repay you? And one of the doctors said, we simply did the right thing to do. And you don't owe us anything. Just please, when you go back home, tell people what you encountered. So Jonathan and Leah came back to Durham, where they were starting divinity school at Duke, and they founded the Rutba House. And for the last 16 years now, the Rutba House has been on mission to be a good neighbor in the community there. And they started the house in an area of town that was known to be one of the most violent and one of the most one of the areas where there was the most gang activity in all of Durham. And they started there intentionally, so that they could be a neighbor to anybody in the community that was around them. Dr. Leroy Barber is also a man who is on mission to be a good neighbor. I want you to hear just a little bit of what he has to say for himself about being a good neighbor. Take a look at this video.
What's your strategy for love?
I think it goes back to something simple that Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I love someone as like I want to be loved. And that takes out like the whole idea of loving someone based on how they treat you. But how do I want to be treated? That's how I should love other people.
Who's your neighbor?
I have there's literal neighbor of the people that live around me that I try to share life with and celebrate our community together with. And then there's my neighbor that is in need. There's a kid in another country that needs clean water. That's my neighbor. There's a family living in my city that doesn't eat every day. That's my neighbor. And then there's my neighbor, Mr. George, next door, who I share life with. He's my neighbor as well.
Do you really think dry bones can walk again?
Oh, dry bones can walk again, brother. My own story is what I know best, and that is that I was living life on my own, how I wanted to, and I thought I had an excuse because I was poor, or because I was black, or because I lived in an urban environment that I had an excuse, but I didn't. And Jesus took all of those things, and he put life into my bones, and he taught me who I was, who he made me to be, who he created me to be, and now I live.
Who did he create you to be?
One, to glorify him in everything that I say and do. I'm a husband of a beautiful wife of 24 years. I have three incredible children, so I try to be a good father and a neighbor to love the people around me. At the end of the day, I believe that I'm created to be a neighbor, to love the people around me as best I can.
Dr. Barber says that when he decided that he was going to be a neighbor, it was as if Jesus put life back into his bones. What would it look like for you and I to be on mission to be a good neighbor? Let me offer just a few thoughts that might get us down the road on our journey. One, when you first encounter someone, no matter who it is, rather than seeing what's different, see what you share in common. Start with the simple basics. Two hands, two feet, a head, a heart. We are all human beings created in the image of God. When we start there, it will help us be a better neighbor to others around us. And once we've done that, then the next step, I would say, is when you encounter someone, assume the best about them until they give you a reason to think otherwise. Not until somebody else gives you a reason to think otherwise. Or not until you hear something about them that causes you to think otherwise. Or not based on some preconceived idea about who they are. Assume the best about another, just as you would want them to assume the best about you. And then third, just keep drawing the circle wider. The lawyer wanted to know how tightly he could define the box, and Jesus blew the box up. Maybe you've seen this sign somewhere. Just love everyone. I'll sort them out later. that's a pretty good mantra for us to live by, friends. Just keep drawing the circle wider. And here's the great paradox. The way we do that is by drawing nearer. That's what the scripture says today. It says that when the Samaritan showed up, he drew near. Near enough to see the man's need and to recognize his opportunity to do something about it. In this week's chapter to the Jesus Challenge, Justin LaRosa, the author, shares about a time like that for himself. When he was on his way home, and something just nudged him, rather than taking his usual route, to get off at a particular exit in Tampa. And when he got off that exit and when he got to the bottom of the ramp, sure enough, there at the traffic light, there was a man standing with a sign looking for help. And Justin says, you know, I didn't have anything to give him tangible, but I wanted to do something. And so he rolled down his window and he said to the man, he said, you know, I'm really sorry, man. I don't have food or money with me. But I wondered, could you tell me your name? And is there anything in particular that I could pray for you? And so the man walked over toward the car. And he knelt down where he and Justin were at eye level. And he said to Justin, you just gave me something better than any food or money. You said my name. Thank you. What if you and I knew the names of the people that stand at the corners and at the intersections here in our own community? What if you and I got to know the names and the stories of people in our community? So maybe we just sometimes, out of fatigue or out of suspicion or out of a sense of the unknowing, we simply cross over to the other side and continue on. At the end of the conversation today, after the lawyer answers Jesus' question, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Because ultimately, it is all about putting it into practice. You can know all the scripture verses you want to know by heart. You can be a member of every Bible study and small group and spiritual growth experience that you want. You can come to 5 worship services a week if you want. But if you're not putting them into practice, if loving God isn't being partnered with loving neighbor, it's not worth a thing. A song that came out by Ben Rector not too long ago is entitled More Like Love. And one verse of the song goes like this. I used to think I needed all the answers. I used to need to know that I was right. Sounds kind of like that lawyer, or maybe like you or me. I used to be afraid of things I couldn't cover up in black and white. But now I just want to look more like love. What about you? In fact, you look completely like love, especially in your Son, Jesus, that you would come and be among us and offer us life and life more abundantly by your grace. And so because you have loved us and because we say we love you, help us put it into practice. Help us to look more like love also.
Let me
week as we come to this table, we remember that God so loved the world. God so loved the world. The world. God so loved the world that God gave Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would never die, but would have eternal life. God created us good, and yet we turned away from God. We sin. We fall short. We do what is wrong in the eyes of God. And God spoke to us through the law and the prophets as a way to guide us, to be people who love God and love one another. And we made a box out of it and made more rules so that we could be right and other people would be wrong. God came from Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God in Jesus Christ came to show love. So much that He was willing to sacrifice even His own life on our behalf. That we might know love, experience forgiveness and grace, and be able to give that to others. You remember that on the night before He died, Jesus gathered the disciples around Him, and He took a loaf of bread, and He broke that bread, and He gave it to them, and He said, take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And when the supper was over, He took the cup, and again He gave thanks to God. And He gave it to the disciples. And He said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Him. And so we come. We come to this table, and we offer ourselves to the holy and living sacrifice. Offer ourselves to be love and do love for others. Because Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let's pray again. Lord, I pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the hands and feet of Jesus. By His Christ, redeemed by His precious blood. And by Your Spirit, O God, we pray that You would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and receives to His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements and move to these places. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where everyone is welcome. All who love Christ and seek to follow after Him are invited to come and to experience this gift of God's grace in the very real presence of Jesus Christ. So, as you come, you'll come out the left side of your section to the pair of servers in front of your section. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, take that bread and dip it in your cup, bring it in the turn to your seats by the other side. You're welcome to spend time in prayer at your seats. You're also welcome to come at the kneeling bench and spend time in prayer here. As we prepare to come to your table, I invite you to confess to God those ways in which you cross over to the other side. And invite God to fill you with love and grace that you might extend it to others. So please come. Everything's good. Holy God, they will know we are Christians by our love. We give thanks that you remind us of that daily. So strengthen us by this bread and by this cup, by your real presence in our lives, that we might go out and love others and share your love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing the first and last verses of our closing song.
At the end of the story, Jesus says to the lawyer, go and do likewise. He says the same thing to us. So may we go, filled with the love of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a courageous witness for Christ, doing all the good we can until we see each other again.